the fall of Babylon shall his final appeal unto his people. This is in chapters Isaiah 47 and 48, taken from the book of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, page 49, the M.L. Andreessen, the Seventh-day Adventist. And so we're going to start it on the day is February the 12th, 2023, or the 22nd day of Adar 2026. We will be our first service today. Page 49, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, chapter 7, entitled The Fall of Babylon, Yahweh's Final Appeal Unto His People. The lesson scriptures, Isaiah 47 and 48. In chapter 47, Yahweh announces and describes the fall of Babylon. It was Babylon's boast, according unto the Herodias, that the city had never been taken. This, however, is not true. For the history records several such captures. After the time of Cyrus, Babylon was never the capital of a kingdom. For the Persians making Susa the seat of the empire, afterwards Babylon gradually dwindled until it became a ruin. Isaiah 47:1-10. For the Yahweh's judgment upon Babylon for its unmercifulness and pride. Babylon is told to sit in the dust, for there is no throne. Henceforth she will have to work and grind meal instead of being waited upon. She shall become a fugitive crossing rivers, and Yahweh will take vengeance upon her and will not relent. Unto his people, however, Yahweh will be a redeemer. Actually, this is talking about Yahshua. Okay, we're dealing with Yahshua the Son here, because he's the redeemer by his blood for all his people. For Babylon shall sit in the silence and hide herself in the darkness. For Yahshua the Son of Yahweh has sent Israel into captivity because of their sin. But the Babylon was too cruel unto them, even compelling the aged to perform the heavy labor. Verses 5 and 6. Babylon did not consider what such action would lead to. The thought that her carefree existence would last forever. She never considered becoming a widow or losing her children, yet those two things were to come in one day. For the verses 7 to 9, her wisdom and knowledge perverted her, and she came to believe herself supreme. Verse 10. Verses 11 to 15, for the surety of the coming destruction, because of Babylon's pride, evil shall come upon her, and there is no way in which it can be averted. It shall come suddenly, and though she practice her enchantment and sorceries, they shall not help her. Even her astrologers and stargazers are helpless. Verses 11 to 13. Babylon shall be as stubble, which the fire devours, and shall not be able to save herself, for the destruction shall be complete. There shall not be anything left. Verses 14 and 15. And Isaiah 48 is largely a repetition and summary of the prophecy given before. for the Cyrus is here mentioned for the last time in Isaiah, as is also Yahweh's appeal to prophecy and creation as proof of the true Yahweh. Henceforth, the predictions of Babylon's fall cease, and there is no more reference unto the former things, and the new things are the vanity of idols. Okay. For the chapter closes one section of Isaiah's later prophecies, verses 1-8. Yahweh's complaint against his people. Jacob and Israel have not called on the Yahweh in the truth and righteousness, though they claim to belong unto the holy city and to stay on the Yahweh. Verses 1 and 2. Yahweh predicted coming events because he knew that Israel was obstinate and hard to handle. By thus predicting events beforehand, they would be unable to give the credit unto their idols. Israel had heard Yahweh's prophecies proclaimed, and now see them fulfilled. To that they should bear witness. Yahweh is about to show them new things, which they did not know and had never heard of. This they should say, we knew them. Yahweh must deal thus with his people because he knows them to be treacherous transgressors. Verses 9-11. Yahweh proclaims mercy unto his people. For his name's sake, Yahweh will defer his anger. He will not cut them off now, for the refining process has not been completed. Yahweh's name and glory demand that mercy be shown. Verses 12-16. The last prophecy concerning Cyrus. He that is the first and the last is speaking. He has created the heavens and the earth, and when he calls, they stand before him. Let all now hear, which of your idols have predicted this, that he whom the Yeshua loves shall execute Yahweh's pleasure on Babylon and on the Chaldeans. And now foretell it, I have called him and will cause him to prosper. Let all hear this. I have never spoken in secret. From the beginning I have declared it. Verses 17-22. Yahweh's call unto the consecration. Yahweh is the one that teaches men the way they should go. If they would not hearken unto his commandment, their peace would be secure and their posterity assured. Verses 17-19. That Yahweh's people flee out of Babylon and declare unto the ends of the earth Yahshua's salvation by his blood for the redemption of the remnant. I added that last part. He who formerly brought his people out of Egypt and led them safely through the wilderness is still leading, but unto the wicked there is no peace. Verses 20-22. Isaiah 47:1. Babylon is here likened unto a virgin, tender and delicate. In chapter 23:12, Tara is also called a virgin. Virgin may here have reference unto the boast of Babylon that the city had never been taken. Sit on the ground in a deep humiliation. No throne, the kingdom had departed. take the millstones and grind meal, women as slaves, ordinarily did this work, turning the heavy upper stone all day long. See Exodus 11:5, verse 3. I will not meet thee as a man. For the reading is somewhat obscure, for the probable meaning is having or leaving out the italicized words, that there will be none to oppose Yahweh's plan. Verse 5. Get thee into darkness, a symbol of imprisonment. Isaiah 42:7. Verse 6. I have polluted. See Isaiah 43:28. No mercy. We have no record of how the captives were treated while in Babylon, aside from Daniel, his three brethren, and the king Jehoiachin. See Daniel 1:3 and 2 Kings 25:27-30. For the ancient, the aged people, it is not improbable that even of the aged many were put to the forced labor. Verse 7. A lady forever, it is strange that Babylon should engage in such cruelty and yet think herself a lady. There was apparently no thought that there would ever come a day of the reckoning, and this thought of the security made Babylon cruel. It's not lay these things to heart. She was light-hearted, thoughtless. The latter end, she did not think or believe that we reap what we sow. Verse 8, carelessly, Herodotus tells us that when the Babylonians heard of the Cyrus intention of taking the city, they made light of it. No special preparations were made, for they thought none were needed. In a careless confidence, Babylon awaited the coming of Cyrus and danced the very night the city was taken. Daniel 5:9. In a moment in the one day, Babylon's fall came suddenly. One day men were dancing and carousing. The next day they had been killed or taken captive. Revelation 18:8. Widowhood, the figure of desolation. Widowhood. Revelation 18:7. Loss of children, loss of population, or loss of provinces. And their perfection and their full measure. ARV, Revelation 18:6. For the multitude of thy sorceries, rather, and the spite of thy sorceries, the Babylonians were noted for their enchantments. It says, incantations and spells. Note the array of the wise men and astrologers in Daniel 2. In spite of all that the wise men and sorcerers could do, however, Babylon should go down. Verse 10. None seeth me. Yahweh does not keep account or remember. It hath perverted thee. This verse reminds of Ezekiel 28:17, where the cause of the Lucifer's fall is laid to his wisdom and brightness, as well as to his pride. Verse 11. Not be able to put it off. Rather, not be able to charm it away. Verse 12. Stand now. A challenge similar unto that of the Elijah on Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18:27. It contains a bit of irony. Do your very best, the prophet says. Perhaps you can charm away the evil that the Yahshua will send upon you. Verse 13. Thou art wearied, for the Babylonians had consulted so many oracles and wise men and had received so much confusing counsel that they themselves tired of it. For the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, really only one class of persons, all consulting the heavens for the determining of the future from the position of the stars. For the latter specialized in making almanacs in which coming disasters were foretold, also lucky and unlucky days. Verse 14. They shall not deliver themselves, much less others. Isaiah 48:1. Not in the truth, nor in righteousness. For Yahweh is now speaking unto that portion of his people who are Christians only in the name. For the rebukes in this chapter are among the severest in the whole book. Verse 2. They call themselves of the holy city. They belong unto Yahweh's people and are members of the church. They put emphasis on the outward as in the Asherah's day. We be Abraham's seed, John 8:33. Verse 4. Obstinate, hard, iron, sinew, cruel, brash. This seems to be the origin of our expression. Brazen-faced. Verse 6. Thou hast heard, see all this. That is, you have known the prophecies, and now you see the fulfillment. Will not ye declare it? Will you not bear your testimony unto the truthfulness of the predictions of which you are witnesses? Verse 7 and 8. For the new things of verse 6 are here referred to. Yahweh is about to do something to make a new prediction concerning Cyrus. Of all of the old prophecies, the people might affirm that they knew them, or as they do now, say they were written after the events transpired. That could not be the case in this new prediction. Verse 9-11, Yahweh will defer his anger and give the people another chance. This he does for his own sake, for not with the silver reed, nor as silver. Let's read that again. Yahweh will defer his anger. It's actually Yahshua talking. For the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, will defer his anger and give the people another chance. This he does for his own sake, for not with the silver reed, not as silver. Verse 13. When I call unto them, they stand up in the reverence unto their maker, a mark of respect. Verse 14. Cyrus is here introduced, for the Yahweh loved him. This caused unto the mind of the rich young ruler, whom when the Yahshua saw, he loved him. Mark 12:10-21. We cannot but believe that the Yahweh had a special interest in seeing Cyrus saved. Verse 15. Yahweh has called Cyrus, brought him, and made him to prosper. Verse 16. Yahweh has not spoken in their secret. This he repeats again and again, for the Yahweh is open and above board. From the time that it was there, rather from the beginning I have been in it, verse 17-19. Some have taken the position that these verses are addressed unto Cyrus and that they reveal the Yahweh's solicitude for his salvation. for the statements made are of a general application, but we see no objection unto the view that the Yahweh has sought speedily in mind. Verses 20-21. This is the call to come out of Babylon, as the Yahweh of the olden times led the children of Israel through the wilderness. So Yahweh will lead his children now. Lessons for today. Isaiah 47:1. Sit in the dust, there is no throne. Life holds many strange experiences, chains and princesses, brought up in the luxury, suddenly had themselves destitute, as was the case in the World War. It is well for all of us to learn what Paul had learned when he wrote, I know both how to be abased and know how to be abound. Philippians 4:12. Verse 6. No mercy. We never know what the future may bring, for the person in the authority may soon be under the jurisdiction of the one he now treats disdainfully. To be kind and merciful unto all is good Christianity, and therefore good sense. For the ancient, Yahweh loves and cares for the aged. To be old and to be made to feel in a way is one of life's saddest experiences. All should be specially solicitous for the old and infirm. Verse 7. A lady forever. A woman to be worthy the name must be refined and well-bred, a gentle woman. Character, not position, makes a lady. To show no mercy, to ill-treat the aged, to be proud and haughty and yet think herself a lady, what a lack of appreciation of the meaning of the name. Just not lay these things unto thy heart. For Yahweh wants no one to carry unnecessary burdens, but there are some things he wants us to lay to the heart. There are times when it is sin to be lighthearted and gay. May Yahweh give us the right balance. Verse 8. Given to pleasures. This is one of the sins of Babylon. Carelessly. Some are careless of the both temporal and eternal interest. This also is a sin. Verse 10. None seeth me. What a man does in the leisure hours, and what he does when he is alone and thinks no one sees, that is what he is, and that is where his interest lies. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee. How strange that wisdom and knowledge should pervert, and yet that is what they often do. Not indeed true wisdom and knowledge, but worldly knowledge puffeth up. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Unless the heart education follows step with the head education, the result will be disaster, for the religious and moral powers must be developed equally with the mental, or there will be power without control, and that is always dangerous. Isaiah 48:1. Swear by the name of the Yahshua and make mention of the Yahweh of Israel. But that is significant. These people worship Yahweh, but many people nowadays go to church, but some belong to the church, but there must be no but in our Christian experience. for the Yahweh calls for a wholehearted and undivided service. Verse 2, they call themselves by the holy city. Outward forms and ceremonies will not satisfy Yahweh. We may call ourselves of the holy city. We may belong unto Yahweh's people, but that is not sufficient. Verse 4, obstinate. The difference between firmness and obstinacy is not clear unto some people. We should all be firm. None should be obstinate. Obstinacy is defined as persistent and unreasonable adherence unto one's own opinions, stubbornness. One serious result of the obstinacy is hardening, brash. To be brazen-faced is to be impudent and shameless, not a very desirable trait. Verse 10, for the refining process, Yahweh's reason for causing us to pass through the furnace of the affliction is our refining. Every spot and wrinkle must be removed from our character. Spots can be washed out, but wrinkles cannot. It can be removed only by the hot iron. Yahweh will refine his people, but not as silver. Let's do that again. But the Yahshua will refine his people, but not as silver. For the silver is tried, and a furnace of the earth purified seven times. Psalms 12:6. Verse 13. When I call unto them, they stand up. Reverence is one of the virtues we all need to cultivate. Here, heaven and earth are represented as standing up when the Yahweh speaks. Why should there not be profound reverence wherever and whenever Yahweh's word is spoken or read? Verse 14. For the Yahshua hath love to him. If Yahweh love the Cyrus, may it not be possible that there are rulers and great men today of whom the same may be said? And is there no way of the reaching them? Will not Yahweh cooperate with us when we seek out those in the highways as well as in the byway? We sometimes neglect those whom we consider great, not thinking that there are longing hearts among them also. Who will prepare himself to work among the great, the learned, the rich? How will we give an account unto Yahweh for the neglected souls of the million, of the high school and university trained men and women, as well as the submerged classes, unless we include them in our plan? Verse 17. I am the Yahshua, thy Redeemer, which teaches thee to profit. Every ability is of the Yahshua and should be dedicated unto him. Profit here may not have reference unto the money, but rather unto the anything which is far for our good. But whatever the special applications may be, the lesson is clear. All talents are of the Yahshua and should be sanctified unto his service. Verse 18. Some may think that the keeping of the commandments brings strife rather than peace. We are not, however, promised peace in this world as regards outward conditions, but rather tribulation. But in me, he says, we shall have peace. That peace Yahshua left with us. John 10:16-33, 14-27. Verse 22, there is no peace unto the wicked. There is no true peace in the compromise. peace brought at the cost of giving up the keeping of the commandments is but temporary and delusive. It does not pay. Okay, that's into chapter 7. Chapter 8 goes into the servant hope for the discouraged. Page 59, middle of the page, the lessons for today is a subtitle for this last part of our study. Isaiah 49:2, for the Yahweh's words can pierce unto the heart and must do so if it is to do its work. A pointless sermon is no sermon. In his quiver, Yahweh takes care of his tools, even as a good workman does. I am immortal till my work is done. Verse 4, we may not always count success as been counted, as his works seemed a failure. Yet it was a most glorious success, even though it ended in death. It is enough that we do our duty and have results with the Yeshua. Verse 5. This is in Isaiah 49. Though Israel be not gathered, verse 1 to 5, must have been a wonderful consolation unto the Yeshua while on the earth. With all of his love and entreaty, men turned from him. But Yeshua loved the young ruler, but could not hold him. So we may not always be successful, but we have the blessed assurance as he had it, that the Yahweh knows and loves. Verse 6, applying this text unto the people of Yahweh, that we have a right to do according unto the testimony, volume 7, 192, we would say that it is too light a thing to minister only unto those who are well grounded in the truth. Some must stay at home, buy the stuff, that even these must look on the field and by their prayers and means help those who can go. When a church or denomination lose their worldview, when they cease to pray for and give unto the world's mission, when they consume their tithes and offerings on themselves, demanding preacher to serve them like the nations about them, then that church or that denomination is headed for a spiritual graveyard. Verse 7. Some of the treatment accorded Yeshua may be ours. Also, why should we escape when Yeshua did not, nor his disciples? Read what the Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:10-13. We are despised, even unto this present hour. We both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, if being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. One of the serious situations in the more favored lands is that our people are apt to forget that another day is coming when the persecution will rage, when the war and turmoil will be the order of the day. By that time, we all need to prepare. Verse 8, an acceptable time. There is no more acceptable time than now. Neither yesterday nor tomorrow equals now. Of all recorded time this year, this day, is the most important. Teach us to number our days. For the psalmist prayed, Psalm 90:12. That is easily done. We have but one day that is ours. That day is today. This being is the only day we have of which we are sure it is the most important day. Today is the day for the making matters right with the Yahweh and man. Today is the day for the deciding for the Asher. Today is the day for the to begin being faithful in the tithe plan and to make up arrears. Today is the day to make the confessions contemplated a long while. Today is the day to start family worship. Today is the day to decide to make a real sacrifice for Yahweh. Above all, today is a day of a dedication of all that we are and all that we have unto the Yahweh and His Son Yahshua. Verse 10 to 12. These verses doubtless find a special fulfillment in the connection with the coming of Yahshua when the great gathering will take place. What a blessed time when all the saints of the Yahweh shall meet from all parts of the earth. Verse 16, graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Those nail prints will ever remain there. There is the hiding of his power, Habakkuk 3:4. For the sermon, hope for the discouraged, that's the name of our sermon as well. Verse 17, for the day shall come when the destroyers in the church, the criticizers, the backbiters, the ruiners of the reputations and those that made the waste that started factions that by their lives brought ill repute upon the cause shall go forth of thee. What a blessed day when the church shall consist only of such as have the cause at heart and live it. Verse 18, an ornament. Those that come into the church and are spoken of as ornaments. That is what all of Yahweh's people should be. Some are reproached instead. We should show forth the virtues of Him who has called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9, verses 19 to 21. There shall come a time of the shaking when the destroyers and their waste shall go forth of this the church that will create a vacancy, that those will be more than filled by the influx of the new believers, for the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other will be far more than those that went out. That the shaking will be a great one is clear from the expression, I have lost my children and am desolate. Verse 21. Verse 23, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me, for this is a blessed promise. We need to cling unto it in these days of the waning faith. That's faith in the plan of salvation of the everlasting coming to Yahshua. Hebrews chapter 10. That's the end of chapter 8. And it looks like that we're about the end of our study hour, so for this hour, we're going to go into chapter 9 for our next study. That's entitled The Savior and Thy Redeemer. Thy Savior and Thy Redeemer. Once again, chapter 9 of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet of the V.T. Hala, entitled Thy Savior and Thy Redeemer, on page 62, of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, and the scriptures will be taken from Isaiah 49, 24 to 26, and 50.